What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Flagrant 2. No easy buckets analysis by assholes. Water cooler commentary for your sports needs. I am Andrew Schultz. I am here in studio with Real Life Kaz.
You.
And then on the phone, all the way from France.
From Nice,
France. We have Akash Singh, the only man in entertainment who hasn't made it yet but takes 10-week vacations.
I do. I live it up.
Not 10-day vacations. Who fucking does that? That's what you do when you have your first blockbuster film, Akash.
No chance. You got to live life. That's something you always harp on, actually.
I do?
Akash, yeah. Is it racist that I thought you went to Italy only because I watched Master of None this season?
That's where Indians go, right?
That's where they go now, right?
They go to Italy, yes.
It
that's
ain't
the
racist
thing.
Because that's where I went last year.
You were ahead of the curve, huh?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I see how it is.
Tell Z, stop swagger jagging.
For real. He's appropriating.
Trent sweater.
All right, so listen, a lot of shit popped off yesterday. We're recording this on a Monday, so even crazier things could happen. But right now, we obviously just heard about Jamele Hill getting suspended. Is she fired or suspended?
She's suspended for 2 weeks.
She's suspended for two weeks. Definitely the injuries in the NFL. But right now, I think that we should start off the show by acknowledging the immense power, the immense influence of the Flagrant 2 podcast.
Yeah.
This
WNBA Finals.
WNBA Finals doubled their viewership.
Biggest ratings boost.
So what was it
in
like?
In WNBA history.
WNBA history.
So they went from last year, I think they had 7 people watching the game.
A lot of people watched it.
No, for real. I think they said at one point in time it peaked about 27 people were watching the game. And they're not including the people in the arena that were watching it on the live screen.
All right. Yeah. All jokes aside.
Yes.
Even watching this game, you weren't even a little bit excited after last week.
First of all, I clicked on the channel. I saw the big old Minnesota symbol in the middle of the floor, and then I kept looking for the game on another channel. It took me like they couldn't just put a sticker on top of that. It's really not that hard, right? You don't have to read.
You got to change the tiles. It's not really a sticker, so like they have like tiles.
Guys, put a sticker on top of the Minnesota. It's the final. I understand during the regular season, but for the finals.
But I'm not talking about the aesthetics. I'm talking about the actual game. You're a fan of the game.
I'm a fan of the game. Yes. I was excited by the game. Yes. And listen, I'm even more confident now that I will bust any girl's ass that's
really?
Ever touched a basketball. Oh, wow. Even more confident. What I am happy is, listen, here's the reality is, when Mayweather is fighting somebody, he doesn't fight just anybody, right? He has to make sure that person that he's fighting has a certain level of fame, has a certain level of influence. You know what I mean? So for me, one of the reasons that I want to push so many people to watch the WNBA is because these girls are famous enough to fight, you know, to play young Hezzy. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't have the influence just yet.
So even watching Maya Moore do what she does, you think you can give Maya Moore buckets?
Think is not the word. It's there are certain things that we know exist in this world, right? Gravity. Right? No matter what happens, -9.82 meters per second squared, whatever it is, gravity is going to be affected.
Okay?
That's a fact. We know that that's going to happen.
Right.
Another thing. Honestly, there's not really that many more besides that. The sun is going to come up. We know the sun is going to come up, right? We know the moon is going to come out.
This is just like
get to you, dog.
Yeah, like I want to see your honest takes on things.
I'm trying to listen. If Galileo was in this room right now, he would say there's things I'm certain of. I'm certain that the Earth rotates around the sun, and I'm certain that Andrew Schultz will bust any female's ass in basketball no matter what, hands down.
You lost like half of the crowd once you mentioned Galileo. Like whoever was listening to us, what the fuck is Galileo? Fuck this. You gotta go listen to Part of My Take.
Yo, I don't need all that smart shit.
All I'm saying, listen, I thought the girls were really good. I thought they were really good, to be honest with you, and it was an entertaining game. Mm. They won it. It was hungry. You know what I mean? And I loved it. Our fans were watching the game, commenting along with it.
That's
shout
what made
out
it more
to
fun
Kaz.
To me.
I know. I saw you interacting.
I was in it, man. That's what made it more fun to me. We had the hashtag Flagrant2WNBA. And shout out to everybody that used that hashtag. And like everybody was not even just. I mean, you had a few people in that hashtag that was like, oh, God, you know, Andrew could definitely bust these girls' ass. They're terrible.
Yeah.
But there were some people that were legitimately like, wow, like this is my first time watching the WNBA Finals and it looks pretty exciting. Like, this will, at least at the very least, it's like, okay, I got my basketball fix until the NBA is back.
Absolutely.
I mean? And if you're like me, that's what you watch it for. I'm not going to sit here and act like I watch every WNBA game, like I follow the regular season.
Yeah.
But I will tune in for the finals every year, and I will watch that to get me. You know, it's like a weaning drug.
It's like Blade, like when he has the serum, so he doesn't, you know, drink
so
people. Exactly, right? So WNBA is Blade serum. You know, it's not as good as blood, but it will give you some superpowers.
It will get you through the week.
All I'm saying is I'm 100% confident that I could beat any girl that was in that game. I'm 100% confident. Now, these girls' basketball IQs, higher than mine.
Of course.
Right? Matter of fact, in a 5-on-5 game, they might be more effective than me.
Mm-hmm.
Given the right situation,
you wouldn't start. Like you I don't even think you get off the bench for any of these teams.
First of all, I'll put myself in the game when I want. It's not it's not gonna be. I'll be like, yo, coach, I'm ready, and then he or she would be like, oh, just wait
Maya,
a second.
You're good.
I'm like, no, Maya, sit your ass on the fucking bench. Let me bring the ball up the court because y'all are struggling. So, and they were struggling a little bit with that. That's all I'm saying.
Finals though, finals. Like if you watch the first half of the game, that was a game that everybody lauds as like one of the greatest games ever played. If you watch the first half of the game seven,
one of the greatest WNBA. You have to put those letters in there.
No, I'm trying to compare it to the NBA finals, which was Golden State versus Cleveland. That first half of that game was sloppy as hell too. So all I'm saying is keep that same energy when you watch the NBA finals. Like when you watch NBA playoffs, and people are nervous and turning the ball over and doing all this type of stuff. Like that happens. That's basketball.
Okay.
That shouldn't be.
No, Kaz,
unfairly portrayed on the WNBA.
You're 100%. You're right. You are very progressive.
I will ride for the WNBA finals, guys.
I love it, and I listen. I want us all to watch it. Next year, we're doubling this one. You have to understand, I support the NBA Finals 1,000%. We're doubling the viewership from this year, next year, Flagrant 2.
We're going to do it. We're going to have a live show.
Let me tell you something.
If the Liberty is in the WNBA Finals next year.
They weren't in this one?
No, this is the Sparks and the Link.
Oh, I was paying attention. Son, they all sound exact. Spark, Link, Fire, Water.
The Liberty play here.
Bro, I swear, half of the teams are from Captain Planet. Earth, heart.
Sun.
Earth, heart, sun, wind.
A lot of elemental
sun,
teams.
Every elemental team, yeah. They just brought out the chart.
That.
Oxygen.
It does feel like Captain Planet. Does feel like Captain Planet.
Listen, God bless, okay? I think it's going to make moves. Everything's going to be good. We're supportive of the WNBA. And ladies, when you're ready to, metaphorically speaking, get that ass bus. Okay, no Harvey Weinstein out here. This is metaphorically speaking. No Harvey Weinstein.
We're doing this now.
No Harvey Weinstein. Okay, metaphorically speaking.
I'm amazed at how shocked Kaz always is when you throw out like a crazy reference.
Listen,
he's always like, wow.
Let my man be him. Don't, you know, this is a balance. Everything's a balance.
I'm going to find a WNBA player to play. If it's not Skylar, I will find somebody. And it will make it It'll probably make it more sweeter if it's not like a star WNBA player. If I get like a role player to play you one-on-one.
Yeah.
And she crushes you. I would love that.
It's never going to happen.
We'll see.
It's never going to happen. Okay. See. Whatever. Let's get into the hot shit. Okay.
Yeah, let's go into it.
Jamel Hill suspended.
Yeah.
For how long?
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
It looks like, I think ESPN put out a statement stating that, originally, when she got in hot water with the Trump tweets, she acknowledged that, you know, she's not going to do this again, blah, 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 blah. And apparently her tweets last night essentially telling fans to, you know, boycott the Cowboys or boycott the NFL if you really feel a way about Jerry Jones's comments about protesting the national anthem or whatever. And the ESPN was like, no, you got to sit down. You're suspended. So it's the cherry on top of a really peculiar week in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It kind of feels like this past week was just encapsulated everything. Like, even like me as like a guilty pleasure watcher of the NFL, where
right.
It's like, I can't be like, I'm not, you know, building everything that just kind of like went into this season. It was already hard to kind of watch it and enjoy it. And this week just made it like almost unwatchable, like unenjoyable. You know, there's literally every bad thing about the NFL was encapsulated this week.
Right, right.
And it's
right,
really
right.
hard to enjoy that sport at this point.
Okay, fair enough. Let's address real quick the Jamel situation. So she tweets, she works for a company, ESPN, yeah. that is in business with the NFL.
Yes.
And she, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't seen the tweets. We're literally recording this right before. Mm-hmm.
I got the tweets here. I got the tweets. Okay, yes. Yeah, so one tweet, it says, "Don't ask Dak, Dez, and other Cowboys players to protest. A more powerful statement is if you stop watching and buying their merchandise." And then she has a few more tweets basically backing up what she said. And then she, somebody tweets a list of the people who advertise for the Dallas Cowboys, like AT&T, Bank of America, Dr. Pepper. And she said, this play always works. Change happens when advertisers are impacted. If you feel strongly about JJ's statement, boycott his advertisers. So she said, stop watching the Cowboys and stop buying the products of the people who advertise for the Cowboys. No way that's going to fly.
Right. So basically you have ESPN, which is in business with the NFL. It plays NFL games. And you have an employee of ESPN saying, don't watch the NFL. Yeah. That's a conflict of interest, right? Like, regardless of how we feel about equality, regardless of how we feel about fighting for rights, et cetera, we're in agreement with that. We're agreeing with somebody's right to take a knee, et cetera. From a business standpoint, if you work at Cold Stones and you got one of the employees at Cold Stones like, yo, ice cream is bad for you. It's going to give you diabetes. You're going to lose a toe. You shouldn't be eating ice cream.
But when fans of the game and like pundits of the NFL say this has all been a slippery slope, like this is why this is, if you listen a couple weeks back, this is exactly why I said the holding arm shit yeah. during the national anthem was bullshit because of exactly this. You know what I mean? Like Jamel Hill was basically saying Jerry Jones is a hypocrite because a few weeks ago, you know, they're all taking knees and people, and if you listen to anybody with any sense, they kept saying, listen, nobody's protesting the national anthem. Nobody has anything against the American flag. This is just a form of protest against police brutality. So,
right. Well, here's what I'm going to say real quick, and this is why I think Jerry Jones was trying to say is basically what they did 2 weeks ago was good. He said, nobody, we're going to stand for the anthem, which even 2 weeks ago, they stood for the anthem. Mm-hmm. They knelt before the anthem, stood for the anthem, and that was his point. And I think I kind of get where everybody's coming from. Jerry Jones is being a businessman, and he's saying, like, we will knee for inequality, but we're going to stand for the anthem.
He is an owner. He's not a coach. He is not a coordinator. Right. He's not anybody.
I mean, it's the America's team. You can't sit for the anthem if you're America's team.
Granted, at the same time, like, what other NFL owner is meddling? If James Dolan came down right now
right.
and was like, Melo, you're not playing, or Porzingis, you're not playing, everybody would be up in arms. It doesn't matter for what. You are the owner, bro. Cut the checks and
as
stay
a Cowboys
in your
fan,
lane.
This is yeah, who yeah. Jerry Jones. This is real.
But he's an owner GM, though.
Stadium.
But he's not yeah. a coach. Like, you shouldn't be deciding who gets benched and who doesn't get benched.
But GMs do that shit.
Over something that has to do, absolutely nothing to do with on-the-field play. It's like...
Kaz, you're right, but this is who Jerry Jones is. This is a real story. I took a tour of Cowboys Stadium, like, born and raised in Dallas, big Cowboy fan, and there is literally a line from Jerry Jones to the coaches in his office. He's insane like this about everything. He is an owner, but he's never been just an owner. He's always been meddlesome for better and for worse, almost always for worse, but he's always been meddlesome, always really not had a clear view of what he's supposed to do as an owner. He's always been this guy.
But here's the thing, man. Like, he's at a point where, you know, the Cowboys are actually a decent team for the first time in a long time, where it's like, why would you even make this about you? Why would you even want to put the heat on yourself when, you know, the Cowboys are I guess average right now? I think they're like 3-2 or whatever.
No,
like,
they're 2-3.
2-3. Sorry. Why would you make this the same old Cowboys again? That's
because
what
he's not just in Dallas. He's right. This is America's team, sure, but also now Houston has got a team, so mm-hmm. he's not automatically everybody's favorite team in Texas. And Dallas is pretty urban, but Texas is not.
But you got,
Texas is okay. a red state, so mm-hmm. I think he's appealing to them, and I think he tried to appeal to both fan bases by kneeling before the anthem and then standing during it. And I think his quote was something like, "We don't want to be perceived as being anti-America."
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. Like, if he understood,
it is that
was my whole point. That's yeah. why, like, him kneeling with his team was such bullshit. Because it's like, dog, Nobody's protesting the flag. Like, that's not what this is about. This is about police brutality. And, like, not one time, you know, did during this entire thing, after Trump said his thing on the whatever thing he was promoting, and then all the NFL teams and all the NFL players had plans to do something during an anthem, before the anthem, after the anthem, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, the whole thing was, yo, just mention we are against police brutality and the unjust killing of black people, and we want to do something to bring attention to it. If you would have just said something like that and been like, okay, but we also believe we want to do something to make sure that we're not being perceived as a team or a franchise that is disrespecting the national anthem, even though people may not see it that way. He never mentioned police brutality once. It was all a Trump protest. That's what that was.
Well, no, they mentioned racial inequality. I don't think it's, I mean, yeah, I think you're right. They should have said police brutality specifically, but they did say like the racial inequality, or I don't know if they specifically said it, but they said inequality.
I'm not gonna lie.
Groups of people, something.
The optics of this shit are getting misconstrued.
Yeah,
and it is the tricky thing when you have a protest that happens during the national anthem, and regardless of how you want it to be seen and how the people that are behind this, how we want it to be seen, some people will interpret it as you. Now, I don't know about denigrating the flag or the anthem, but disrespecting it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I had a chick over at my house the other night, and I have an old vintage American flag in my apartment. And she goes, whoa, you like have that up? I go, yeah. She's like, you like have that up like right now with everything that's going on? Isn't that a little weird? I'm like, I can't even have an American flag in my home that's in America. Like, what the fuck is going on? Now, listen, I'm not saying the girl knows a lot about football. She definitely doesn't know routes. Oh. But in terms of her perception of things, right, and how this is being marketed, right, she views the American flag as this negative thing. Now, there must be a connotation between the optics of the protests and that.
I mean, here's my thing, right? Like, it's everybody's just confused right now, and it's so mind numbingly, like, it's almost embarrassing at this point, where it's like, you know, my boy Joe Zen, he wrote a great story on Bleacher Report where you're saying like kneeling is the new dabbing, like people are only doing it because, like, you know, you got the 49ers doing like rows of kneeling and like people standing behind, and it's like it's the most odd thing right now, where it's like, dog, nobody has anything against a piece of fabric.
Right.
It's about what the piece of fabric represents.
Right.
Right? And before, and mind you, the NFL, with all this going on, there's still no policy put in place where you have to stand for the national anthem like there is in the NBA. Like,
right.
You have to stand for that. You know what I mean? Like, and this is still pretty new. It's still relatively new. They've only made this a guideline maybe like 9 years ago. When I think the USO paid the NFL X amount of dollars to do this before games. It's advertising. It's advertising for the military. That's all it is.
Question.
So my thing with it is now like, how did it get to, okay, we want to bring attention to this thing that's happening literally every week to somebody that you look on Twitter or somebody turn into a hashtag to these people are un-American and they're against us and now we have to do something about it. Like, how did we get to that?
Because they're sitting down when the national flag, when the national anthem is being played. You can't expect people to be smart. Like, you have way too high an expectation of humanity, my friend. People are dumb, right?
Yeah.
If they see somebody kneeling when something else is happening, they're going to see that as a sign of disrespect for that thing that's happening. It doesn't have to be the national anthem. It doesn't have to be a flag.
Yeah.
It could be a girl telling a story. And if I just start turning my head the other way, she's going to go, hey, are you disrespecting me? I'm telling a story. I could be like, no, I was turning my head the other way for black people's equality. But she is going to interpret that, and other people are going to interpret that the way they feel in their personal life. That's why this is, while I'm 1,000% supportive of the protest, it's a very tricky one because there's so much room for misinterpretation.
Yeah.
So much room. And I think that's where Jerry maybe was going for. He was like, listen, let's all kneel. I'll do the Neil thing. I don't know if he believes in it or whatever the fuck he cares about.
That was the plan, though. And that's what kind of gets me irritated with it, because it's like, yo, the plan was to take attention away from this guy, Colin Kaepernick, and what he's trying to bring attention to.
Right.
And turn this kneeling thing into, oh, this isn't a thing where, okay, you what? racial equality. It's like, no, you're anti-American. And now the optics are, we don't want to be looked at as anti-American. No, if you knew what the protest was for originally, nobody would look at you like that. And if you use their platform as Jerry Jones, owner of America's team, to say, hey, I want my black players treated just like my white players and vice versa and all that type of stuff. You had all that. You used the same voice to shoot down all these other protests and say and pretty much threaten your team and say, like, motherfuckers are going to get benched if you do anything like this or being seen as disrespecting the flag.
Yeah.
And now that's why we have so much room for misinterpretation. It's turned into something
it was already misinterpreted before.
I don't think you're wrong, but I remember last week I talked about the survey I saw on DallasNews.com, which was 54% of the people, the readers, said they shouldn't have kneeled at all. That's Dallas, an urban city. You might think it's racist, but it's still one of the biggest cities in Texas. So think about him as a businessman. And I'm not saying it's right or I agree. I just get what a businessman is going to do. If 54% of the people in your most urban area, fan base-wise, say you shouldn't kneel at all, most of your fan base says do not kneel at all. And you're going to say something to try to appease them. Right or wrong, I'm not saying right or wrong. It's a businessman. I think
the other thing to seriously consider is what we all want is equality and we all want equality for everybody here, right? We all want.
Yeah.
Do we?
All right, maybe we all don't.
You know
we
what
all
mean?
Don't.
Like, well, we do.
The three of us here want equality, right? The three of us here want equality. Okay. We could be confident about that. And the three of us here want to stop police brutality. I think we can all agree on that.
Right.
So we have to then ask ourselves, what are the best measures to get that? Mm-hmm. Is a protest that is going to possibly divide these people of this issue and not divide evenly? Mm-hmm. Majority of people will be pissed off and misinterpret this protest as something else. Is that going to stop police brutality? Or is there...
It's not about stopping police brutality. It's like,
hold on.
The kneeling... And this is the thing that, and I'm like getting a headache thinking about it. It's like, oh, you're wearing pink for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we still have breast cancer.
Right.
It's not about stopping breast cancer.
It's bringing awareness.
It's bringing awareness. That's all it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like the fact that all this gets misconstrued.
Why don't they just wear tits? like that no, would bring way more. I would bring way more awareness, right? Like,
I guess.
Like just put tits on, not a bow. If you put tits on a jersey or a little medallion or something like that, like people be like, whoa, there's tits there. And be like, yeah, it's breast cancer awareness.
We are getting completely
sorry, off subject. I'm just saying, like, that's a way more effective way of getting.
So what do we, all right, so that's my next question. Andrew,
yes.
White man.
Yes.
Tell me how to properly protest.
There is no proper way to protest.
Okay.
Right. I agree with you in terms of, I think it's important to make a statement. I think it's important to make a statement. And I think it's important to, I personally would use the flag.
For what?
So I love the fist up.
Okay.
I love the fist up. I love, any way like where it's like, I respect the flag, but I want you to let you know that flag gives me certain rights you're not giving me.
Oh, but you heard about the hockey player who put the fist up.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he put the fist up and now he's getting death threats.
He's getting death threats.
He's like one of like nine black hockey players in the NFL. He's like blackish. He's like
kind of black. Yeah.
He's
yeah,
like
yeah.
Russell Wilson black.
Yeah.
And it's like
he's Colin Kaepernick black.
He's Colin Kaepernick black. And like the fist up during the anthem, my dude, he stood up there and he put his heart over his hand over his heart. And I just think with all of this going on, it just makes me feel like it's never been about the protest. It's never been about the mode of protest. It's always been about you as black people. We just want you to shut up and entertain us. And that's fucking
I think a lot of it comes from, to be honest with you, is there's a certain amount of white people that just deny police brutality.
Yeah.
And I think that's the disconnect, right? It's like here are these people going, hey, the police treat us differently. We go through it every day. We see how you get treated and we see how we get treated. We know there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And there's white people that just don't have black friends, don't operate in black circles. And they assume that if a police officer is roughing up a black person, he did something to deserve it. So this protest, maybe we'll never touch those people. So maybe it's not even worth considering them because there's no way that it could ever resonate.
I don't know.
It's like people who eat raw. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how many stars a raw restaurant gets, I like chickens.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat chickens.
I want something cooked.
I don't want you to
die.
Exactly. I don't want you to cook a pumpkin to taste like a chicken. I'll just eat the fucking chicken. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think that's what it is. It's like, if something's not going to resonate with somebody in the first place, then fuck it, man. You don't even have to, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you make music, like you don't have to make, if you make reggae, you don't have to make reggae for white girls from Canada. Mm. Just make reggae for your people that fuck with reggae. Mm. And when you reach for the wrong crowd, you might end up losing your crowd in the first place.
But is it reaching for a wrong crowd?
Like, no, I think the point is you're supposed to convert people to seeing what you see, because black people have been knowing police brutality exists.
Yeah.
So it's about getting some white people to see that it exists.
Okay.
Now, I don't think they're going to see it this way.
But my point is, like, what way are they going to see it? If you see a video where the dude's getting shot and killed, and that doesn't resonate at all.
Oh, no, perfect example. Perfect example. There was a video just going around a few days ago, and forgive me for forgetting the name of the man who was murdered, but, you know, there was a body cam on the cop, and the guy was, you know, he said, just take off your belt or take off something. And as he's, like, putting his arms up to get, like, arrested, he starts running, and as he runs, he gets shot in the back. You know what I mean? And I think he died. I think he's, you know. And the first thing I see is everybody's like, oh, well, he shouldn't have ran.
Right.
Oh, I'm like, dude, you're a cop. You're trained to handle these things without killing, without murder.
Right.
And then the very next day, I see a video of a white kid pretty much lambasting this cop. Like,
yeah, so running around.
Steals his car and manages to get away with his life. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And you brought up a good point about, like, how a lot of white people just act like these things don't exist.
It's not act. They truly believe.
They truly believe it's, yeah.
You know, like, I'm sure there's a lot of black people that truly believe every white person has a little racism in them.
Mm-hmm.
They truly believe it. It's not a pretend thing. They, in their experience with white people, maybe small experience with white people, that's what they've learned and that's what they've dealt with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So people truly believe these things, and breaking down intuition is very difficult. Getting in there.
Not even just intuition, denial. You're trying to get through denial. Yeah. I've seen it first. We've all seen it firsthand. It's the most powerful thing on earth.
All right. Well, look, let's move on to some other things. This is flagrant, too. I don't know why we got so into the political shit. I'm sorry.
Fuck. Give me something fun, Andrew.
Listen, no, we got to. And it was interesting. We had this great conversation through text, the three of us, where we were talking about why sports are so important, especially now. And, like, in today's day and age, when it comes to politics, if you disagree, if somebody disagrees with you, one side is a Nazi, the other side is a social justice warrior, or you're a racist, you're a snowflake, et cetera, right? Like,
But
the one beautiful thing about sports is we can agree to disagree. Like, you can like the Jets. Mm. I can like the Giants. You can call me a bitch-ass motherfucker for liking the Giants. I can call you a bitch-ass motherfucker for liking the Jets. And then we go, I'll see you next Sunday.
Exactly.
It's this beautiful thing. And it's like, I don't have any... And it's the reason why I'm almost hesitant to talk sports on this, politics on this show, is when I'm talking just about sports, I have no anxiety about an opinion.
Yeah.
I'm like, how will this be interpreted?
Yeah,
oh, like, my God.
I got to watch my words.
Exactly.
Like, you can be irrational and passionate as hell when it comes to sports. You know what I mean? And then it's just left there. And then that's it. That's just how he is.
It's the one thing you could talk loud publicly about. Like, you can't talk loud publicly about politics.
No.
You get knocked out.
You can't go to somebody with a Make America Great Again, like, face paint on your face.
Underneath
like, Republican, and I'm like, yo, what the fuck? What's wrong with this guy?
That's true. But you could roll into a Chicago Bears bar dressed in full, I don't know, Green Bay Packers?
Green Bay Packers gear. And everyone's going to look at you like, this fucking
guy. Hey, go fuck yourself. They'll just go, Brett Favre is a little dick. Exactly. That's all they'll say.
Sure, you'll have, like, your one or two, like, crazy fan bases that might fuck you up for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, but it's such a minority.
But you asked for it. You walked into the Chicago bar with the Green Bay Packers. You wanted some fight.
This is facts.
All right, so let's get into it because some interesting shit. I almost don't even want. All right, well, let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr., man. Game over. Ankle broken, snapped.
And JJ Watt.
Oh, that's right. And JJ Watt is injured. JJ Watt, is JJ Watt becoming the D Rose of the NFL?
Oh, God, don't say that.
It feels like every year, season ending injury, tons of talent, MVP status. And all of a sudden, if you can't stay healthy, can you be there? First of all,
got a massive contract and then fell apart.
At least he got the contract. All I'm saying is this shit made me think karma.
Odell does not.
Karma does not exist because J.J. Watt raised $35 million for Houston and then fractured his fucking tibia.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Second season in 3 years that he's got a season ending injury.
No, first of all, Andrew, this is what makes me positive that karma exists because J.J. Watt raised $35 million. Then God gave him one season of CTE, just saved him.
Exactly.
Then. You out for the year.
Yo, you're right. My bad, God. I didn't realize.
You're doing my work, son.
Exactly, yeah.
You don't have to play this game.
You raised $30 million. I'm going to make sure you don't kill yourself and your family when you're older. This is what a gracious God.
He good.
You got his contract. He's good money, though.
Yo, Akash, thank you for bringing some levity to this situation. Yo.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Odell Beckham raised money for Hurricane Sandy or if something else had happened in New York, he would have got injured 2 years from now. Get his big contract, and then he gets injured.
He was too busy hitting them folks off season and dancing with Drake at his
and going boating and shit. Stop it. Everybody
they
on that boat
won a game
is injured.
Since that picture.
That's facts. They haven't won a game since the picture.
280 days.
Dude.
Well, it'll be
wearing Tim's
tomorrow.
In Miami, whatever the fuck he was doing.
Say what?
Wasn't he wearing Tim's in Miami? Wasn't he wearing Tim's in the picture?
And listen, I think that's why he's cursed. He didn't have proper Tim's on. Like, his Tim's had, like, fur on it and shit. They were, like, basically, they were strong Uggs. They were very strong Uggs is what they had on. And he disrespected New York. So you can't be taking pictures representing New York City with some Fugazi Tim's on.
He didn't have proper Tim's on.
That's the best he would have been good.
I'm going to be honest with you. He wouldn't have rolled his ankle if he had some proper Tim's on.
Facts.
That's the real issue.
Right?
Big facts.
He had them little water moccasin cleats.
But let's talk.
You put on some
about...
beef and broccolis, you ain't gonna roll your ankle.
Oh man! But to be fair, like that's kind of like the shitty part of the NFL is that contracts aren't guaranteed.
Yep.
And this is exactly why you see these big time players holding out all season, first game, second game, third game, specifically because of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
One can make the argument that Odell Beckham Jr. is the most underpaid athlete in all of sports. Not even just the NFL. All of sports. Who's more...
Bron.
Who is more valuable?
Bron.
But Bron gets his money elsewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's underpaid in the sense that you can't put a number to what he does to the economy of Ohio.
Oh, he's raised bleach sales... 3,000% Odell Beckham Jr. You should have invested in bleach real quick before.
Well, he
had
the Head and Shoulders deal. He has Head and Shoulders,
like the black
and he has
M&M.
Nike.
He got Head and Shoulders.
And that's
he need L'Oreal or Lancome or one of those like hair bleaching things because everybody's on it.
Head and Shoulders doesn't do much for black people hair. Like that's not a thing with us. I don't know how
you guys don't get dandruff.
No, I mean we do, but like we need certain type of shampoo.
You get ashy elbows. We get ashy scalps. That's the difference. Real talk, because my shit. If I don't keep Head and Shoulders going.
We moisturize, man. We use a lot. I mean, we don't use Soul Glow anymore, but you got to put some type of product in there to keep it nice and moisturized all times.
White people's cocoa butter is Head and Shoulders.
Same. I need my cocoa butter. I need my Head and Shoulders. No joke. If I go to a hotel for like 3 days without anything like that, it's a dust storm coming off of my head.
White people are slowly discovering cocoa butter too. Like I was fucking shocked that people even knew about Palmer's. I was like, what?
Bro.
I'm like, you're watching too many DJ Khaled Snapchats. I'm like, how did you guys figure out about Palmer's?
Then I remember exactly when I found out about it. I was freshman year of high school, and my boy Jameel Hibbert, shout out to Jameel Hibbert, he forced me to use lotion because I walked in, Akash knows Jameel, so I walked into the bathroom and I saw Jameel rubbing his legs down with lotion, and I was like, yo, what are you doing, bro? Like, I was like, dude, you lotion up your legs? I thought he was on some real soft shit. And he was like, bro, you don't use lotion? I'm like, no. He goes, let me see your legs. And I literally picked up my leg. Alligator scales. I look like a reptile. It was crazy. God. He was like, yeah, your skin's not supposed to look like that. I was like, oh, I thought this is winter skin.
Winter skin? Winter skin? What the fuck is winter skin?
I'm like a cobra,
Like, do you just like, did you think you used to like just shed layers of skin?
I shed it. That's it, dude.
During the winter. Oh, my God.
Come spring, I shed that off and then we're good to go.
Oh, white people, dog. Y'all are crazy.
I'm sitting down. I'm on it, bro. Now I got my Jergens. Yeah. Now I got my whole shit.
Please, moisturize these. White folks, listening, all right? Ashiness, just because your ashiness isn't as pronounced as black people, you still get ashy.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's not good. You gotta moisturize. You gotta absolutely moisturize. That's not just a melanin thing. That's just healthy skin.
That's true. This is very true.
Yes. But back to Odell. That kind of speaks to like a little bit of the hypocrisy of the NFL, that this guy who is 100% your offense. He is 100% responsible Absolutely. For Eli Manning still having a career. He was responsible for the Giants even being in striking distance of any game this past year. Mm-hmm. It's been after he scored a big touchdown or made a big play or whatever. He is your offense, right? Mm-hmm. And he's getting paid, what, like $3 million this year? Mm-hmm. Which is...
I'd be surprised if it was that high.
If that, you know? And it's like, and that's why he didn't want to, you know, he wanted to be the highest paid player in the NFL. And, you know, if you you know, weigh his importance to his team, you know what I mean? Like, not saying the Giants are, you know, were Super Bowl threats, or maybe they were at one point and they're not anymore. But, like, there's no one offensive weapon in the entire NFL that's more reliant upon, that's not a quarterback, than Odell Beckham.
Fair.
And now... Who's to say this guy's even the same after he gets surgery? After, you know, he gets his leg comes back.
So he fractured his ankle.
He fractured his ankle, yeah.
I tend to believe
And it was a bad... It looked bad.
Too. Oh, it was just, disgusting. It was yeah, rough. That shit curled up like yeah. one of his hair.
Oh, ah, head and shoulders, guys. Head and shoulders.
That's true. Anyway, but no, for real, it is. It looked disgusting. Yeah, it was fucked, and he might not come back and be the same. I have a feeling he'll be able to get that check. Now, let's be honest. You know who's happy about this?
Who?
Fucking Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They're ecstatic about this.
They're like, whew, glad we didn't spend $100 million on this guy.
Boom, right? So they're already 0-4. They can't True. Win this season. They know they're going to suck this season. Odell gets injured. That is a bargaining chip for them in the negotiation of their contract.
Yeah, and that
also,
shows.
They're going to get a much higher draft pick because they can't really win.
So they get a draft pick. They get Odell Beckham Jr. for cheaper, mm-hmm. right? And anything else?
I mean, that's just playing to my point. It's like, as an NFL player, you have zero rights. Like, you have zero. Like, yeah. You are so replaceable. Like, you Absolutely. Think you're that important.
Yeah.
You're really one injury away from being worth shit.
Exactly. It's like a jobless boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's all you are.
And this is why the NFL Players Union is, like, probably the worst union in the whole sport.
Who's the head of the NFL Players Union?
Is it DeMaurice
Smith? DeMaurice Smith, yeah, something yeah, like that.
One That guy, I think. I don't know. I just know he has a wild hairline. But like he's.
It was a mess before he got there, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's always been a mess.
There's only so much you could do with that league when the owners wield so much power. And this week has only proved how much power that the players do not have. Like,
yeah, because no one player can affect the game that much.
No.
It's like, even if you have the best quarterback in the league, if you don't have an offensive line, he sucks,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if you have the best wide receiver in the league, if you have a shitty quarterback, he sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's so diversified, none of them have the leverage to come out and say, hey, we're not going to play.
No.
And we're willing Here's to watch really, college. They suck in college. Like, most of these guys end up becoming fucking security guards at Limelight, and we'll watch them play on a Friday, or what is it? Saturday night. We'll watch them play prime time.
And it's great. And it's fun.
To your point about how replaceable NFL stars are,
mm-hmm.
the most important positions on the team are really every good team has a good lines, offensive, defensive line.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know the Cowboys' best offensive lineman if he walked into a bar. Kyron Smith, 6'9". I'd be like, who's this big black dude? I have no idea. What is he, a math teacher? I got no clue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
You saw Akash's PCS response right there. The 6'9" guy. What is he, a math teacher? Because most math teachers I meet are 6'9", 300-pound black guys.
I thought it was a good liberal answer.
I was very liberal. I was like, super liberal. I was waiting for that to go real left, Akash.
You just made me look like a piece of shit. I'm like, security guard at Limelight. I'm the asshole over here. You're like, yeah, who's this guy? Is he a NASA engineer?
I'm going to let you keep that lane. You all right, Andy? Stay there.
Who's this vegan gentleman?
Right? It's like, I'm 6'3", and 230, and I get looked at like, oh my God, where do you play? Like, no one has ever mistaken me for a math teacher in my life.
You know, I'm 6'2 and 180. I get math teacher all the time, guys.
I'll tell you what's funny though, Kaz. I told Andrew this. I did not think you were athletic when I met you until you said you played ball with Derek Character. Then I looked at you, I was like, oh, this motherfucker is huge. And no, yeah. You could hoop.
Kaz can hoop.
The good old days.
I've witnessed it.
I'm very much washed in my present days form.
Mid-range jumper is solid.
Mid-range is solid.
Yes, know, knockdown.
I still got the basketball IQ. The older you get, the smarter you get about it because your body just can't do things it used to do. But
You got like a nice John Sammons. You know what I mean? Like a nice like later. Oh my God. Later, you know his man.
Would have said Draymond Green or something. Nah, like I would have liked Draymond.
Draymond can't shoot.
He could like wide open. Like
yeah, but you could. You have a nice jumper. You have a nice mid range jumper. If there's a little bit of pressure, you could still hit a
John
jumper.
John Sammons. That is,
Sammons could put up 20 easy. John Sammons got buckets when he was with Milwaukee.
That is such a you just aged yourself so crazy with that.
Can I tell you something? One of my favorite games to play with my boys is what would our NBA counterpart be, right? Yeah, so this is what's really funny about this. I just compared you to a guy who is an NBA player who averaged 18 a game, and you were like, John Sammons, though. Like, really, bro? You think I'm John Sammons?
You know,
like,
why? Because that's such a basketball player answer. Like, I know. That's not a casual fan. Like, so, you know, if I look at the NBA draft board, right? Big board, and it's 2019 draft.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like player comparison, John Sammons. I'm like, fuck this guy. Yeah, yeah. I don't want him on my team.
I know. That's because we have the unrealistic expectation of who we should be. Exactly. So what we would do high and low. Okay. Right? We would do who's your high and then who's your low.
And who is your high and low?
Well, I think your high would be Larry Johnson, and I think your low would be Sammons. Because you're stocky enough, and Larry could hit a little jumper. You know what I mean?
4-point play.
Exactly. Yeah, so I could see you possibly having like an LJ type game.
I could see that. I can see that. I'll take that.
Okay.
So my high would be Earl Boykins.
Your high is Skylar Diggins, and your low is Jeff Van Gundy. I could see you hanging on a player's leg. Like he did Patrick Ewing in that scuffle.
First of all,
just panda grab
I'll bust
him.
Jeff Van Gundy's ass 1-on-1.
Son,
I don't know about Jeff Van Gundy, but have you ever seen that video of Stan Van Gundy?
Could he hoop?
Yo, Stan Van Gundy is nice, though.
No.
I swear to God. Like, he was running a point guard drill.
Stan Van Gundy.
Stan Van Gundy is dead nice.
First of all, Stan Van Gundy is built like a cartoon principal.
But he's got handles, dog. Like I said, like he was like going through cones. And
as
like,
an old guy or old, young?
No, bro. This is maybe like 2 or 3 years ago when he was coaching the Magic, and he was sitting.
It was a couple years ago. My man looks like Mario. There's no way he could hoop.
I will find this video and show you guys. I'm like, yo, you know when you like watch somebody like dribble up and down, and they don't, and they're not like really going.
But
hard,
you're like, but he could play.
He could play like right now. Like if he needed to, he can.
Really?
I swear to God, Stan Van Gundy. He got handles, and I'm looked at him, and you kind of shape him up, size him up. And he's like, oh, nah, he could play.
All right, fine. So Stan is nice with it. Okay, who is my top?
Yeah.
Man, that's a good – because we always go through – everybody tries to fucking hate on me, obviously, right? Because my game is slash and
dish. I've seen you play before. Okay. So I would go, just to keep it very white, I would go Brent Berry. Brent Berry's your high.
But Brent shoots better than I do. I don't shoot.
Yeah, Brent's
no, but
a great
he was
shooter.
A slasher. He became a shooter later in his career. Okay. When he first got into the league, when he was in the dunk contest, all that type of stuff.
Okay.
He was very much a white slasher.
You know what I would have said?
What's up?
I would have said Manu without the passing.
Manu without the passing.
First of all, I'm a way better passer than Manu.
First of all, Manu's
an incredible
passer.
This is what my friends will say. My high is Manu.
Okay.
But they'll say Manu, but they'll say without like the 3-point range. But they'll be like that type of game. It's not incredibly athletic, but I have like long steps. I get to the basket.
You do
finish
you do
with
have
the
some
left.
Good strides.
I have all strides. Oh yeah, gazelle. Yeah, yeah.
You take up a lot of space when you're going to.
That's it. You got
to
make
the
up.
The Hezzy is real. People think that's like a gimmick. Like I've seen. We played in a league together for Tournament 23.
Yep.
And it was like it was a pretty washed league, but it was fun.
No, there were some ballers.
There were some ballers, but you
every
know
every team washed. Had two.
Every team had two, exactly, yeah, yeah. Right? And I saw the Hezzy in action, and it was effective. And I was like, yo.
Had a couple buckets. Did what I could to help out. We got a W.
We got
the
dub that day. That's all that mattered.
Then my low end, I don't know. My low end, I think my buddies always used to say, oh, what the fuck was the guy's name? He was on Sacramento for a little while. He was on the Pelicans for a little while. Point guard, can't shoot, gets to the basket pretty effectively.
Tyreek Evans.
That's a low?
That's my low.
Oh, man. Let me tell you. Like, growing up, Tyreek Evans was, like, the shit.
Young, he was dope.
Young Tyreek Evans, he averaged, like, 25-5, like, his rookie year. Like, he was the shit.
Was he rookie of the year?
Was he? I think he was. I want to say he was. He was up there. He came in a pretty stacked class. But I know his rookie year, he averaged 25-5. And I was, like, LeBron, Jordan, like, he's, like, one of, like, 8 rookies to ever do that shit or something like that. And then he just fucking fell off a cliff.
Yeah, he couldn't shoot, and they just started backing off him.
Yeah, they're like, all right, just go ahead and shoot, buddy.
All right.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lin.
Oof.
out here with dreadlocks.
he's a hero. I love Jeremy Lin.
Shout out to the Asian community.
I need your thoughts on Jeremy Lin.
Talk to me, dog.
Bro, it was beautiful. The man got dreadlocks. He's just living his best life, trying to fit in however he can in the NBA, making friends in the locker room. They only want to hear about Jesus so much. They want to hear about Jesus, but then you go fuck a bunch of hoes. He's not doing that back end. So he had to find a way to relate. And then for Kenyon to hate on him and him to handle it so fucking perfectly.
What did he say?
It was incredible. He said, basically, he released a statement that was like, I think it's awesome that Kenyon Martin's made these statements. I think it's good. Like, I'm glad I heard your thoughts. You know, honestly, though, I think we should share each other's cultures because that's how we learn. That's how we grow. Like, I love that you have Chinese character tattoos. I think that's awesome. That's what we should be doing at the end of the day is coming together as one. And it was just so perfectly played.
See,
didn't take the low ground.
Listen.
Oh, man.
Cam Newton, pay attention to how Jeremy Lin handled this situation. Because Cam Newton's big issue with this whole routes situation, I'm sure we're all familiar with the issue, right?
Yeah.
The female reporter asked him about Funchess's routes, and he kind of laughed douchebag-gilly, and he goes, wow, female asking me about routes, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then what he could have done is just said the exact same thing, only with a compliment, and he would have been a hero.
This is the beauty of words, right?
Yep.
One or two different words, and Cam is looked at as a progressive. Wow, look at this man, and make it. He was like two or three words off.
All you have to do
from getting like 12 new endorsements.
Every he would have had every female body thing possible. He would have had. So
all he would have said was all he could have said was. Yo, I just like to take the time out to point out that this she might have been the only woman reporter there.
Of course,
she's like she's asked me the best question all day. I love coming here to talk about football. All the other stuff is crazy. Yeah. But yeah, let's talk football.
He could have literally said, "It is so awesome to see a female ask a question about a specific football question about routes," and then say, "You know what? I understand you're probably the only female reporter here, and I might have some daughters one day, and I would love if they break stereotypes like you." Just a little compliment like that.
Just a little, that much.
The underlying theme is, bitches don't know shit about football, right?
Bro, listen,
but you don't say that like
not even,
that.
Not even bitches. Football is a complicated sport.
Son,
I play
men don't
all
know.
The time.
Son.
I don't know about a lot of fucking
things. All I know, I know fade.
Yeah.
I know
a
post corner, post button
post
hook,
corner,
and,
I got
a
no idea.
And a curl.
That's it.
Boom, that's it. But that's it. Like, we really don't know that much about routes. Listen, this is also, it's a very different situation. First of all, I've never met a woman in my entire life that's spoken about routes.
Never.
I haven't met women, never once in my entire, if we called up women right now and we just asked them.
Because it's so true.
Have you ever met a single woman and we just said, hey, listen, I'm trying to write up a football play. I was just wondering if you could recommend some routes.
But she's like, why don't you run a drag and then stop and go? Like, what if like,
don't forget
women-
the screen pass. Don't forget the screen pass. Like that would be, listen, that's what you need to do, ladies.
So you got to put Sterling Shepard on the drag route.
Exactly.
What if all women just knew a shit more ton about routes and we were just like super slow?
Bro, this is what I was saying at Instagram. On Instagram, I was like, listen, those dildo parties that they have, that's a front. All they do is practice routes. Exactly.
Belichick's down there.
It's like, Belichick's with them. Okay, ladies, no, it's a three-step drop, so you got to get out quick. Boom, etc. I think it'd be great. Prove us wrong, ladies.
Now, when I first saw that, I thought exactly like this. I'm like, why is everybody bucking out? Like, this is just, you know. But somebody put it to me in this term. It was like, okay, what if somebody came up to you and was like, oh, wow, you speak so well. You're so well spoken for a black male. When we were doing the podcast, I heard somebody left a comment on my Instagram. It's like, yo, you're the whitest sounding black guy I've ever heard.
And I'm just like, those are fighting words, dog.
Yeah, it is, and that's not the first time I've heard that. And I'm like, because I talk like proper.
I just want to let you know, I get the opposite comments all the time. Why you want to be black so much, bro? The fuck. So from now on, if you hear the white sounding voice, it's mine.
But yeah, that's kind of how somebody tried to explain it to me. Like, that's why it's offensive, because it's like, oh, you know, it's like if somebody says you speak so well for a black person, it's like, I guess, like, I could see where you're coming from with that, but still, it's
man,
like,
I get told that shit all the time. You're funny for an Indian. You're good looking for an Indian. None of it bothers me. I'm always just like, all right, cool. Well, now you know they're not all whack or whatever. Who cares? Who cares what you think?
But isn't a better metaphor to be like, I mean, just to compare it to, I understand how that could be frustrating. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That being said, we're talking about a sport where women do not play. A woman has never played it ever.
There's no female refs.
There's no female refs. There's one, and is she like a real one, or they just let her come in?
I think she's on the staff. She's on the staff.
She's on the staff. Yes. Yeah. Is she like, what is she doing exactly for the team? Mm. Listen, she's ironing. Listen.
Wow.
The reality is the matter is there's zero women that are surrounded by. I bet 99% of the people reporting on football are male.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I wouldn't say that's a safe number, but you know,
it's going to be
way more male dominated.
It's way more male. I can't say the exact name, but I was talking to this girl randomly I met on this dating app that works for I won't say, but she's basically a football reporter. She has a morning show that she talks about it, and she even was like, honestly, that girl had no fucking clue what she was talking about. So she's even outing the other female sports reporter, right? So I'm sure on some level, it's not crazy that Cam thought this. Like the way what I liken to it is makeup, right? Like if a guy walked up to a girl and was like, well, I was like, wow, that's some beautiful mascara. What kind of mascara is that? Which one is that? And started saying specific mascara lines. Mm. I'm sure the girl would be like, wow, that's crazy that you know about mascara.
Well, to be fair, like most of the gay men I've ever like met or most of the, you know, a lot of women that I know, like men are extremely good at makeup. Like that's, you know, especially gay men, you know.
So imagine there was a rule.
Yeah, because gay men wear makeup.
Exactly.
Lesbians don't play football. Yeah,
and when I'm talking about the guy that comes up to you, it's not a gay man. Imagine a burly ass dude.
So you got that fancy product.
Exactly. The biker, a Harley Davidson biker rolls up to you like, yo, that's that Rihanna Fenty? That's dope. That mascara right
literally,
there?
That's the only makeup line I know. I only know Fenty products, yo. That is it.
I
talked to my girl this week and I'm like, yo, I'm about to get you some Fenty. She flipped out. She's like,
she loves it.
Yeah, I know what the fuck it is. So I'm like, all right, get her some Fenty. And
Kaz in trouble. That's what happens when you do Henny Palooza. When you do Henny Palooza in Chicago, you got to come back with Fenty. You
got to come back with some Fenty.
Everything got a cost.
Got to smooth things over at home when you get back. But man. And I guess to tie it back to the Jeremy Lin thing, I mean, props to him for like at least doing the diligence of like knowing this is gonna get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And he did a story in the Players Tribune and like he got in front of all of this. But I think it's kind of funny how like he just kind of thought that everyone's just gonna see this Asian man in dreads and everyone's just gonna be cool about it. I was like, no, it's okay, guys. I got a story. I wrote a story about it. It's totally fine.
I don't think he thought. I think he wanted to do it and he knew immediately who gives a fuck. Every black player, not every, mad black players got Chinese character tattoos. I see those on everybody on earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this. And if they say something smart, I got this response ready.
He was loaded. He was loaded. He came in with a loaded gun with those dreads. Because, like, I mean, I just don't know how he got naps.
Okay. I would like to say, in terms of culture, as a Scottish man.
Uh-huh.
We've had dreadlocks for years.
Really?
If you watch my good Scottish compatriot, William Wallace and Braveheart. Okay? We're out there rocking dregs.
PC Andrew didn't say Mel Gibson. He said William
Wallace. Nah, fuck that Mel Gibson, dog.
It took a minute.
I can't be fucking with Mel, bro. Mel was repping that William Wallace.
Oh,
so,
Jeremy Lin was, I mean...
I mean, dreadlocks are a function of just not having shampoo.
No, I mean, it's not. It's definitely a...
My brother had a dreadlock. He stopped washing his hair for a while, and he had a dreadlock just grow on the back of his head.
Well, for Rastas and African culture that was taken to Jamaica, like, it's definitely a lot of religious ties
right.
that goes into the hair, and it's a very sacred thing. When it comes
all I'm saying
to
is you can get dreadlocks...
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's not specific to one culture. Anybody can acquire dreadlocks. Mm-hmm. You just have to not use Head and Shoulders.
But my thing is, Jeremy Lin had, like, a samurai cut last
year. Yeah, he was Dragon Ball Z. He's done it all.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, he had naps 5 months later. I'm like, yo, that is just a miracle of science. Like, this is, like, the second week in a row we're talking about hair technology. I'm just like, yo, how did he pull off naps? Like, I thought that was just a natural thing. I didn't know, like, if you just don't wash, like... Asian hair just gets nappy. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I was just I was amazed. I didn't even take offense. I was just like,
yeah, but what is it if they take offense? I don't know. I mean, me personally, I don't really mind that kind of stuff because I think people gravitate to what's cool. But maybe that's because me growing up, the people that were cool around me were a lot of times Black and Hispanic dudes, right? Mm-hmm. So I gravitated to that culture. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up here in New York City, right? So I didn't have a lot of like white folks or like white culture influencing me.
Yeah.
Right. Like there was cats from, you know, Connecticut that had lobsters and crabs on their shorts and shit, but that wasn't cool to like my friend group.
Yeah.
So I always thought it was kind of normal that like you just do whatever's cool. I don't think Jeremy Lin is trying to like appropriate blackness and like he's not trying to get shot by the cops. He's not trying to get sickle cell. He's trying to do.
Wow. Okay. First off, that's what we're not going to do today.
I'm just saying,
we're
like,
not gonna do that today.
I'm saying, like, he's not like, he's like, I want everything to do with Black culture. Just like Kenya Martin is not trying to, you know, get every bit of Asian culture. He's not trying to.
We can't act like Jeremy Lin hasn't taken, like, you know, he hasn't been to the buffet of Black hairstyles for the past, like, 2 years.
He's
like,
an Asian guy that plays basketball. Clearly, he was influenced by Black people. Clearly, he saw this immense, you know, they had this immense influence on his life.
No, my only issue is like why he thought like he can just show up at dreads and people weren't going to have some questions.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's like, dog, like if I show up to like if we had a show this week and I come back next week with straight blonde hair and I'm just like, well, you know, I just love white culture. Like, you know, I just felt like, and I'm offended that you have questions.
Oh, was he offended by? I thought he was like understanding.
I don't know if he was offended, but it's like, dog, like you really can't be too surprised that someone's gonna come to you and be like,
Kaz, I don't think. Well, listen, the statements I read, he didn't seem surprised. He didn't seem hurt. He was just like, no, man. He actually said, I'm glad Kenyon spoke his mind. Like, I think I think Andrew's right. I think we gravitate toward what's cool. That's why women know so much about routes, because men play football and it's really cool. And that's why every woman knows physicality of routes.
You know? Yo, so there's this great comic, a good buddy of mine named David Nguyen, and Asian dude out of San Francisco area. And he had this funny concept about this. He's like, yeah, we just appropriate what's cool. He goes like, Wu-Tang appropriated parts of Asian culture. You're from Staten Island, Kaz.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Wu-Tang appropriated Asian culture, right? They didn't appropriate violin lessons.
They appreciated Asian culture.
They appreciated it or appropriated it? What's the difference?
It was appreciation to it. They took a lot of elements from Kung Fu films mm-hmm. and applied them to their music.
Right.
And they didn't go around dressed, well, I guess maybe like one or two videos, they weren't dressed as like samurai or shit like that. They just, you know, they would sample great moments from like Kung Fu movies and stuff like that. It was an appreciation. It wasn't like, I'm trying to be Asian.
They call themselves Wu-Tang
Clan.
So that's appropriation or is that appreciation?
They're the same thing.
I don't think they're the same thing.
How are they not? Is Jeremy Lin profiting off of these dreads? I mean, one of them is profiting off of Asian culture and not doing anything to give back, right? Mm. Are they spreading awareness about the rape of Nanjing? Right? You know what I mean? Like, is Wu-Tang going out there and getting justice for the Chinese people whose culture they're taking?
I feel like I'm letting down my Staten Island brethren by not being able to properly defend the Wu-Tang right now.
But David Nguyen's argument was it's totally cool, right? Because Wu-Tang wasn't appropriating fucking SAT prep courses, right? They're not going, yo, we're going to go all Asian, commit fully.
It was all the cool shit.
He was just like, yo, Kung Fu, some cool ass shit. I want to rock with Kung Fu. And Asians were like, all right, do your thing. As long as you buy the DVDs from us on Canal. Right? It's simple as that. Like Indians, everybody's rocking Indian culture right now. Right, Akash?
Yep.
Indians, do y'all
get
the fuck?
And my parents think it's dope. Anytime my parents see what we would call appropriation, they're just like, that's great. Good
like yoga or whatever?
Hmm. Yeah.
Akash, yo, does your girl do yoga?
My girl does do yoga.
Oh, damn. Yo, that's fucked up, yo. Yo, hold up, bro. Did she write a Players Tribune article? She need to write a Players Tribune article for all that yoga appropriation, B.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Honestly, I think you owe me an apology.
I do. You know what? And don't call me out for my Asian tattoos, or maybe my Indian tattoos that I don't have.
Oh, yet? You don't got them yet?
I feel like I got to appropriate more cultures. Maybe I'm asleep. Maybe I'm not appropriating enough.
I just want to point out that while Kaz is saying this, he has a Friends hat on, like the TV show Friends. I wish we had video.
It's a real Friends.
It says
hat.
Real Friends, but the Friends is written as the TV sitcom.
So Friends.
Friends
is white culture?
Damn, son!
Friends is white culture? Friends. Even though Friends specifically bit off of Living Single.
Wow. Yes, it did. Oh, wow. Wow. Well, technically, the TV was made by Scottish people first, so you're all biting off of Scottish people's culture, and we're using electricity right now. Who invented electricity? We can go back and back and back. Go. You know what? We're all appropriating God's culture.
This is true.
Okay. God made all this shit.
Guys, let's do what they tell everybody else to do, and let's stick to sports.
Yo, to facts. Sports,
facts. We got to get back to this sports shit. All right. Yo, Kaz had a hot take.
Yes.
While we're talking about Asian things, mm-hmm. the whole NBA has been going over to Asia.
Biggest market.
Biggest market in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Kaz got a hot take about Steph going out and dropping 40 points in three quarters, was it, Kaz?
Yeah, he had 48-6 against the Timberwolves in the NBA China game. It's a preseason game. Didn't he? I mean, they're the Golden State Warriors, the defending champion. Mm. He shouldn't even really be playing in this game. You know what I mean? If the game was at Oracle Arena, he might have played a quarter or two and sat out the rest of the game. Right?
But he went for three quarters.
And he went off. My theory is Under Armour, which has been, I don't know, a great way to say this, but they've been falling behind.
They've been struggling,
after, you know, initially getting that Steph Curry buzz. Mm-hmm. They've been falling behind. And Steph Curry was, you know, sent to China. And when he talked to his Under Armour dudes, he was like, dude, you can't take the night off tonight. You have to cook. Like, you have to go off. Like, that's the market that made Kobe into what Kobe was today.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, yes. Like, America, obviously, like, he's huge in the NBA or whatever, but Kobe is treated like a god in China.
Yeah.
Like, an absolute god. It's the reason why Klay Thompson has a multi-million dollar deal with his sneaker company. The reason why Lanings have been popping off with Dwayne Wade and Dwight Howard and all these other people. China has huge money. And Under Armour was probably falling behind and all that. And they were like, you know what, Steph? You got to come out here and you got to. Nike's fine. KD's doing his thing. Klay's fine. All this other stuff. Steph, for the company, you got to have a game to remember. And he did. He went off for 40 points in three quarters. And I think it was all about the sneakers. I think that's why he went up and played his ass off.
I mean, this makes sense. He gets a piece of the company too. Didn't they cut him a little? So that's his company.
He's got a sweetheart deal with Under Armour, especially for, you know, all the boost in the stock that he's given that company.
Yeah.
So I think it was very money driven.
I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
It's the mix. Makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. Now here's my feeling. Would I go over there and do that? No.
Go over there and play for
and ball out? No.
Why not?
Because they're gonna fake my shit anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's keep it real. Yeah. They don't just fake iPhones. They fake the Apple Store. They Did you know that? They made a whole Apple Store that was fake. They faked Apple Stores. So you're going to fake my sneakers. If I go ball out, you're just going to fake them more, right? The factory that makes the fakes is across the street from the factory that makes the real.
Yeah.
They just go back, is this stitching right? Boom, boom. Then they go do it. So I don't know if it's worth the time investment doing it. Maybe if I just ball out back home. Mm.
Or maybe, Andrew, he just wanted to raise the morale of the people in the sweatshops making his shoes right now. Like, look, your tears and blood aren't going toward nothing, right? Look at this jumper. It's so wet.
Look at this amazing man you're making sneakers for. It's probably like a big-ass picture of him in the factory, and he looks like a fucking dictator. And it's just like, it's like a goddamn, I don't know, an assembly line.
He's Kim Jong-un right now.
Yo,
like,
what
they
if?
They know they get treated like shit, but they worship him.
Son, what if Adam Silver sent all the NBA players over to China to see what real inequality looks like? So he's like, I got a way to make sure they don't take a knee. Go over there to China.
Keep that national anthem bullshit over here, all right?
We're going to see these little child slaves in the sweatshops that are sewing together your sneakers. Then you come over here and try to take a knee. You're not going to do shit.
I'll tell you what, Andrew. Yeah. I will completely believe you if the NFL plays preseason games in North Korea next year. And you know you're right.
Facts.
Absolutely wild. So that was a little hot take.
A little aside. If you agree with me or not, you know, hit me on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. But, you know, I think the sneaker business is what makes the sports world go around. I don't think it's the teams. I don't even think it's the cities that they play for. I think these basketball players are more loyal to their sneaker deals. Look at Odell Beckham, perfect example.
Why didn't he sit then? Nike should have said hold out.
He probably wanted to. Nike probably wanted him to sit. And Odell, you know, you see Odell as passionate as he is. He's probably like, no, I want to play. I want to get out there. He cries when he has bad games. And then he's super excited when he gets a touchdown. Like he probably has like instances of bipolar disorder.
Yeah, but talk.
You know, the sneaker companies, these are the people that believe in you before your team even believes in you. You know what I mean? It's like they don't have to wait 2 or 3 years to restructure your contract, do anything like that. Like if you ball out and you have a season to remember, you're going to get a signature deal. You're going to get a signature line. You're going to be the face of this multi-billion dollar company. And it's like, why?
And they don't trade you.
We ain't trading you. You know what I mean?
That's like, home.
Exactly. And, you know, Steph, I think, you know, and if it wasn't for Nike, Odell would be in real trouble right now with his money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, why be loyal to your team and your city when you could just be loyal to Nike and be loyal to Adidas, be loyal to Under Armour. These are the first deals that you sign out of college.
That's right.
Like right when you get drafted, these are the first people. And these guys are talking to you when you're in high school.
That's right. I mean? They're getting in early. Yeah.
They got with the grassroots programs. Like they're in your ass when you are fresh out of college, fresh out of high school.
Yeah, even earlier. Don't they sponsor the high schools even and that early, kind of
if
shit?
If you're that big of a prospect, hell yeah. Like if you're in the eighth grade even, if you're one of those guys that are making like fucking hoop mixtape
predators.
And all these you know, YouTube video series like Mixtape Live or All His Life or Hoop Mixtape or all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like Nike and Adidas are on you and they are seeing dollar signs on you and it's like, that's loyalty to me.
Hell yeah. I mean? If you pay me no matter what, you got my back.
And that's the thing. And pro basketball players can't say that.
Right.
They can't say that. You know what I mean? Like, when has Michael Jordan ever said anything bad about Nike? He said bad shit about Jerry Krause and the Bulls. and those are the Bulls. And this is Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where is the real loyalty? But the only tricky thing is these pro basketball players, they can't say that. Because that's politically incorrect.
Well, yeah, because you got to be part of the team. You got to hold it down for the city.
It's got to be all about winning. And it's got to be all about the team. And fuck that. It's about making this money. It's about making sure my family's good. It's about making sure my generations of families is good.
Yeah, yeah.
All that type of stuff.
I mean, all the teams need to do is cough up the same kind of bread.
And they won't.
And they won't. They won't absolutely do not.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting situation. We had that, Kevin McHale. Shout out to Kevin McHale, looking like he gambled away his house. I've never seen him not unkempt.
He always looks so disheveled.
Doesn't he? Like, doesn't he look like he's about to go into a phone booth and put a quarter in and just call, hi, honey. Yeah, how's everything going? Do me a favor. Pack up all the the silverware. Can you pack up all the silverware in China? We got to move and stay with your aunt for a little while. Is that okay?
Kevin McHale always looks like he's like an out-of-luck lawyer, and it's like... It's like, this is the case of his life, and if he doesn't win it, then, like, he's going to lose everything. And he's like, no. He's, like, fumbling papers.
Mad papers. Mad documents, B. You're like, yo, Kev, why you got all the documents? What's going on, dude? It's true.
He's
windy.
Late to court. And he's like, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
How windy is Kevin's life, bro? Tuck your shirt in. This guy has never put on a shirt that stays in his pants. It's impossible.
Grown man, dude.
Nah, something's off. Man. Something's off about Kev. Anyway, he was talking that shit about your boy.
Why is he my boy?
You know why he's your boy.
He's not my boy.
Because you're trying to look just like him. That's why.
Favor
each other in looks. My ass. Y'all coordinate this shit. If I'm G-Eazy, you know who the fuck you are. All right?
Facts.
That's what we need to do next. What's it called? We need to do that picture.
Facts.
We need to get Harden and G-Eazy together and have them do a Flagrant 2 show.
Throw Z's in the mix.
We need to get
Z's,
and James Harden to do a Flagrant 2 show.
And
boom.
We're good.
It's lit.
We're
good.
Hey, listen, I don't look like a Z's. All right. I look like a Z's like you look like Odell Beckham. Don't do that.
Son, that's the only famous Indian they got, bro.
What I knew off the top of my head.
Exactly.
Bro.
There's nothing left, bro. This is what I go through every single time. Every single time anybody white with a comb over does anything, be it go to Charlottesville or play for the fucking UCLA Bruins, I just know I'm going to get tweets like, yo, Schultz, this was you?
Oh, God.
Anyway, so Kevin McHale came out and said that Harden wasn't a leader.
Mm.
He said he wasn't a leader, and he said it'll benefit from having Chris Paul because Chris Paul is a leader, and that, you know, he remembers coaching him. He said, when I coached him, you know, he would try to do things like preach defense, but the team would just put their head in their hands and say, yeah, you know, this guy doesn't play defense. How is he going to tell me to play?
He said, if James Harden tells you to play defense, are you going to listen to him?
Yep.
And I was like, damn, that's pretty shady. But James Harden clapped back at him real fast.
Yeah, what did he say?
And he said something along the lines of, you know, you never taught me anything about leadership. And, you know, when you were here, you were blowing smoke up my ass, telling me I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread and blah, 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 this is that and the third. And now that you're on the other side, on the broadcast booth, now you're talking greasy. Mm. And
Keep
that same energy. You know what I mean? So
what do you think? Leader? Did he have merit in what he was saying?
You know, I almost feel like it's kind of an unfair thing to expect of James Harden, you know, when Kevin McHale, if I remember correctly, when Kevin McHale got James Harden, it was just off Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. It was the first time he was the unquestioned man on the team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he got a
just
lot
real
of,
quick question. When mm-hmm. he met with James Harden in Oklahoma City I already knows where I'm going with this. Do you think that his outfit looked like a tornado just went through? James sees him in a practice facility like, yo, are we good in here, bro? What's going on? Why is your hat in your hands? Why is your...
Yo, like, oh, sorry, guys.
Let me tell you Andrew cheat code. Anytime Andrew gets serious, a joke is coming. There's no way Andrew gets serious.
You're giving away my tricks, dog. Stop giving away my tricks, bro.
Oh, God.
Crazy-ass motherfucker.
No, but come to hell. You gotta... First, like, fuck what you think about James Harden. Like, you can't throw stones at a glass house. When you look like that, you cannot talk about leadership. You are the head coach.
Come on.
You are the GM of the Houston Rockets. Like, dog, you cannot come at anybody about leadership. You look like an out-of-luck lawyer.
Dude, that out-of-luck lawyer shit is so true.
The public defendant?
Yeah, the public defendant with your fucking cologne showers. You know that guy don't shower. He just sprays on some Acqua Di Gio and just goes right into work.
Right. Like, put on a tie. Are you serious?
Yo,
put on a goddamn tie.
Kevin McHale dresses like the dude who's the skinny part of the tie is always longer. You know that tie just right?
It's like swinging below his waist. Exactly. Stuff. It's like, what's wrong with you, bro?
Get a wife. Come on.
Tuck that joint in. Like, cover it. Yeah. Pull on a blazer.
All right, so in reality, is he right about maybe some certain things? He does have a point, but like, if you're gonna say that James Harden isn't a good leader, obviously you've never been with him to Dreams.
you've never been with him at VLive.
He has
rallied those troops at VLive seen.
Let me tell you, the problem with the Houston Rockets is that too many of the players on the team have relationships with their fathers. If they didn't, James Harden would know how to rally those troops.
He'd step right in there. He'd step right in there and be like, I will lead you.
Cass going in, baby. Cass going in. We Gucci.
Oh, man. He has a point, man. Like, James Harden, he kind of had that mellow thing going on about him when he was in Denver. When he was like, bro, he's a super talented guy, but like, I think there's optics to being a leader.
Okay.
For that a lot of head coaches and especially media always mm-hmm. point out too, where it's like, if you're not like yelling at your team, if you're not this fiery, slap the floor, let's play defense type of guy, you're not looked at as a leader. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, people said Melo wasn't a leader because he wasn't that fiery dude. He's a laid back guy.
They were so wrong about that.
maybe he's not. But my thing is like, what the Rockets won? I don't think they've went a season with James Harden as their main guy. I don't think they've lost less than like 45 games in a season.
Yeah,
they've always been like in the mix. They may not have been like championship contenders, but
they were 41-41. I think that first year with McHale. I think last year they won 52 games or something like that.
They won almost 60 games with D'Antoni as the coach.
Okay.
But it's like they weren't scrubs. Like, the Melo thing I can get. Like, there were some scrubby years with the Knicks when you're the main guy.
No, they played well under McHale, and they played very well.
Against with D'Antoni.
With D'Antoni. It's just...
Chris Paul is looked at... And for some reason... And here's the funny part. The optics with, you know, Chris Paul being a leader is like, you know, he's this hard-nosed, like, yell-in-your-face, like, type of thing. And, like, say what you want about... James Harden, like, it looks like they actually like playing with him. Yeah. Like, they like the guy.
Yep, yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan don't seem like they're, like, missing Chris Paul that much.
No, no, no.
You know what I'm saying? Especially not Doc Rivers. Especially a lot of those people. And if you, depending on who you listen to, depending on who you talk to, like, they're not necessarily sad to see Chris Paul go.
Right, right, right.
And on top of that, what has Chris Paul ever won?
That's what I always make that same point. It's like, we can say how great a teammate he is, we can say how great a leader he is, but if at the end of the day you don't have the W's, I have to keep the same energy I give Melo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you're going to make playoffs and you have a lot more competition in the West, but that being said, I think at a certain point in time, and I think this is to Chris Paul's detriment, is I think that he, you know, defers too much. I think he's too generous with the rock. And I think sometimes when it comes playoff, when it comes crunch time, amen.
I'd rather have that killer.
You need the killer.
What's up, Akash?
I think you just can't affect the game as much as a point guard unless you can shoot like Steph Curry.
Right.
Mm. I just don't think you can really take your team as far. And James Harden, I do think his teammates like him. I don't think they would necessarily run through a wall for him. And I don't know how much better he makes them. That's the other, nobody really likes
him. Oh, he makes his teammates better. He definitely makes his teammates better. I mean, just all the attention that he draws and his ability to pass the rock, he absolutely makes his teammates better. He's going to get these motherfuckers paid. My question is this. When you get Chris Paul on the team, right, the ball's going to have to be in Chris's hands.
Mm-hmm.
How much, and Kevin McHale touched on this, and I thought it was kind of interesting, is like, if you know you could get to the basket at will, whether you have your dribble or you don't,
mm-hmm.
Do you really want to run around three screens just to get an open?
Nah, and I don't. And one thing I agree,
you know what I'm saying?
You,
it's
like I'm not. I don't see Chris Paul playing off the ball.
Chris is not going to play off the ball. I think when it comes to Harden, he's like, "You really going to have me run around? Just give me the rock at half court, and I'll bring the motherfucker up."
It's like, dog, I just had one of the most.
I don't need
productive
help.
Point guard seasons.
Yeah, he might. He literally might say, "Hey, Chris, go to the corner."
He might, and he should. To be honest, he should, because it's like it's a new type of NBA. You know what I mean? Like, there's not like Chris Paul is still like the John Stockton era type of point guard.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like James Harden's more of like the new style PG, where like if it wasn't for Russell Westbrook having a once in a lifetime season,
he's MVP.
He's the MVP.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At point guard.
Yeah.
You can't really upgrade more at that position.
No.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, Chris Paul is a free agent next year too. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Maybe if it
Wait, no. Didn't he sign the extension already?
Did he sign? I don't think he signed the extension with Houston. I don't think so.
All right. Fair enough.
But I mean, he does have that option to opt out. I think all the whole banana boat crew. I read somewhere that the whole banana boat crew could be free agents if they so choose.
You know what they should do next year? They should go play in China. That would be major move, yo.
Make that money.
What if they did that? What if they each played for one different team? Is there a salary cap in China?
I don't know.
No salary cap out there, just go play for one team and they're charge $100 million.
LeBron James signs with the Shanghai Sharks.
Shanghai
Sharks. $590 million.
And then ironically, because there's not enough players left in the NBA, Stephon Marbury makes his comeback. That would be iconic.
Oh,
all right,
man.
So we just got some news. Look, you getting this shit live.
Yeah, I'm getting this live. Joel Embiid, a.k.a. The Process, has just signed a 5-year, $148 million extension with the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid has played 28 NBA games.
Fam.
28. That's crazy.
Fam.
$148 million. Thoughts?
Well, it's tough, right? Because we're talking about football earlier. There's no guaranteed contracts, and we're sitting here going, well, this is bullshit that there's no guaranteed contracts. Mm-hmm. Why? We need more protection for these players, this, mm-hmm. that, the other. And now we have a situation where we're talking about a basketball player who's only played 28 games in the last, 2 years, you said?
Mm-hmm. Two years. Going on his third year.
He is a big guy with leg problems.
Mm-hmm.
This is a horrible combination mm-hmm. that we know never works out.
Mind you, he's an amazing talent.
He's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
With all his health, he might be the second best center in the game. Maybe the best.
Okay.
If he has all his, you know, when he's got it all going,
right.
He has a combination of skills that, like, you just don't see out of people.
It's amazing. Great personality, too. He's like great a franchise guy.
He is the guy that you want to build, especially in 2017, where everything's about being social media savvy and being funny and being able to play positionless basketball and all that type of stuff. Like, Joel Embiid is a guy that you can build a franchise
around. It's
amazing.
Charisma out the ass.
That being said, I do not trust this guy's legs.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't trust his
legs. I wouldn't, especially now that I had, now that you have Simmons coming back and you have him, and it looks, at least in preseason, that
who
this guy
looks every bit the next LeBron that I've seen. You know what I mean? Like, that's, when we talk about highs and lows, like, his low is Lamar Odom. His high is LeBron James.
Forget about it. It's unbelievable. Like, yeah. I mean, we got to get the shot down, but, like, I mean, the passing ability.
It's there.
It's unbelievable.
You can't teach that.
No, that's God-given, right?
Yeah.
So, I think, at least it's, if it's me, I say, I'm sorry, Joel.
But you got to show me a full season before I give. And I'm not saying he's not worth it if he's healthy, but I just don't trust those knees, man. Like,
Why would you sign him
so early? That's my question. Why do you have to do this now?
Yeah. I mean, he must have shown them enough in the preseason of working out to be like, okay, this guy could go. That, you know, it's worth the
investment. He just started playing 5-on-5.
Yeah. Go get Sam Hinkie back. He'd have never let this contract
You got to be more savage about it. I mean, this is what I always say. Philly stays taking L's. You know, I think that, I mean, that's why there's two L's in Philly, and they all stay fucking up. I've said this for a minute. And your boy, Colin Cowherd or whatever like that, trying to take my Philly hate. It's my Philly hate, Colin. Okay?
Coward out here.
Whatever. Coward is fucking. Is Cowherd is his name?
Coward. I call him Colin Cowherd.
Colin Cowherd. I don't know how to pronounce his thing. I also don't know who the fuck designed his studio. His studio looks like a medieval dining set. He is 60 feet away from whoever he's interviewing. Have you noticed that?
I've never noticed that.
You've never
I've
seen
never
the video?
So you just pointed it out.
Dude, it makes no sense.
It looks
like
the Starship Enterprise.
Bro, it literally is the Starship Enterprise. He's in his own booth, and he's having, like, yelling conversations with somebody 100 feet away. When it was him, LeVar, and then the girl, there was about 40 feet in between each of them. It's like, what is this Costco that is no longer there that you decide to build a studio in? There could be four studios in that one studio, minimum.
This Empress, this palace of terrible takes. What? has built.
Shots fired, Colin. Let's go.
Terrible takes.
Shots fired.
I said it. His takes are terrible.
Yo, we're coming for everybody.
It.
All right.
I said it.
Kaz tells you it. That's it. That's what it is. We're coming for you. If you want the beef, let's fucking do it. Okay.
We see what
you say. We know you got no expressions because you use Botox. And if you got any comments that you'd like to bring towards Flagrant 2.
Howard,
shit.
Whitlock, all of them.
Shit.
Like my male LeVar Ball says, I only want to hear from Whitlock if he's talking about snacks.
Shout out to Charlemagne.
Shout out to Charlemagne, exactly. But yeah, man, $148 million. I'm nervous. I am Allen Houston nervous by giving this guy his contract. Like, and that's the beauty. I mean, for him, congrats to him. Congrats to Embiid for getting that money. I'm all about being young and getting paid. But if I'm the Sixers, that is a slippery slope if he gets hurt. You know what I mean? You still got Ben Simmons, who looks like a stud. You still got Markelle Fultz, who could be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
After that, you're struggling.
You're struggling. Now you got, maybe Jahlil Okafor comes back.
No, it's not going to happen.
It's not happening.
I mean, TJ's a nice backup.
He's
and
good.
Then you have another big.
Covington? Robert Covington?
Yeah, Covington.
Is pretty good.
Is decent, yeah.
J.J. Redick?
JJ's solid.
They got a good squad. They got a good squad. If they all keep it together, they got a really good squad. They got a fun squad at the very least.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Let's hope he stays healthy, because I do really enjoy watching him play and think he's a great addition to the league.
God bless. I hope you stop running on the streets of Philly.
All right. And leave Rihanna alone. That's called abuse in most states.
Yeah. You can't be talking about Rihanna's out here getting thick.
I like thick Rihanna.
You do like thick Rihanna?
I love thick Rihanna, dog. Thick Rihanna is like when, you know, when Steph Curry had his MVP season.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, wait, you can't get any better than this. And then he
and
becomes
then he did?
The unanimous MVP. That's thick Rihanna to me.
Really? So you went to thick Rihanna. Oh,
thick Rihanna is like extra sprinkles on your ice cream cone, dog. It's like ice cream's good, but with sprinkles on it,
Yo, Kat, I wish you were here to see this face right now. I don't know, though. I mean, thick Rihanna's cool.
No, see, we're not going to do this.
She's cool, but I'm not. I like skinny Rihanna, bro. I'm sorry.
You're bugging.
Bro, I like skinny Rihanna.
I'm with you.
Both of y'all? Yo. Akash, you're with skinny Rihanna, too?
Yeah, listen, first of all, I weigh 135 pounds. So
yeah, he can't lift Rihanna's thigh. He's not going to be able to handle that.
That's too much.
Yo, I love extra plate Rihanna, dog. When she said, even she's like, yo, I'm coming back for seconds. And she's not just, you know.
That's what she said?
Yeah. Well, she goes to the cookout and just doesn't eat one plate anymore. Like, I like it.
Nah,
I like
healthy Rihanna. I don't know. I'm gonna have to make her
that
plates.
That shit is sexy. She got titties. Oh, let me stop.
Nah, you don't have to stop, bro. You can indulge in all these things. Ugh. You know what I mean? Anyway, listen.
Good job, Rihanna.
You're fine about Rihanna. All right, listen. before we get out of here, we did promise that we would pick soccer teams. I know a lot of people have been talking about, mm-hmm. Hey, are you guys going to cover baseball? And the answer to that is no.
No.
This is a sports
We're
podcast.
Yankees fans. Baseball exactly. sucks.
Yankees fans. That's a brilliant way to put it. Yankees fans, baseball sucks. We don't follow that. If your sport, you can eat while you play it, then we're not going to follow it.
Any sport that's given me five parades in my lifetime, yeah. I root for the Yankees. But it's baseball, Yankees. I'm absolutely not watching.
No, we're not watching baseball. No. It is. Okay. It is what it is. We're
all rise.
Exactly. But soccer, I did promise that we would follow. Some soccer, we'd pick some soccer teams.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, we got World Cup coming around.
I'm going to Google a team right now.
Yeah.
To pick a team.
Look, Google English Premier League. Okay?
English Premier League. All yeah. right. All right. Let's do it.
You got to Google English Premier League. I already know who I'm going to pick. By the way, first of all, have you noticed that every World Cup, it's like, are the U.S. going to make it?
Because we suck.
No, but it's like, son, it's like, how forgiving is the World Cup? Like, I feel like we just lose, and then they're like, there's one more chance. There's one more. The World Cup is like a basketball wife. It just constantly forgives you, constantly lets you get away with fuck shit, and then eventually you're just like, okay, we'll settle together and be fine. Because we just beat Panama, I guess, and now we're going to be in the World Cup. Listen, America's going to win the World Cup this year. I got a feeling.
Not
this year. Whatever the World Cup is going to happen.
I don't know shit about soccer, but I know America ain't winning that World Cup.
Listen, let me tell you something. If America wins a World Cup, I don't know what the rest of the world has on us. Healthcare?
Probably.
We got healthcare. For the time being.
Non-gun violence? They got us. Prisons?
Son.
They got us on prisons.
No, we got legit prisons.
Our prison system, like, we're putting up numbers in the prison.
Yeah, we are putting up numbers, like, in the prison.
We're putting up, like, Will Chamberlain numbers.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we going in.
I don't know what else the worst.
I'm just saying, bro. I almost feel bad taking that from them. Like, imagine we took your sport with our fifth best athletes.
Oh, God.
Like, everybody playing soccer couldn't play basketball, couldn't play football, couldn't play baseball, and was relegated to soccer.
Yeah. And it was too cold for hockey.
It was too cold for hockey. Like,
Who makes more? Who has a higher contract? An MLS player or a WNBA player?
Oh, God.
A Home Depot employee.
You to mean be the fair, Home Depot you know employees what the MLS or the guy standing,
what's that?
You mean the Home Depot employees or the guy standing outside of Home Depot hopping in a pickup truck? Because I think they might both make more than the MLS.
Are players. Those guys not the Home Depot employees?
Oh,
wait, what were you saying though?
No, I was comparing the MLS to, like, Marbury going to China.
Oh, that's basketball. We are China.
We're China.
Yeah,
it's like they yeah. we'll take your best player like 5 years after their prime.
Yes,
and he'll come over and be a star.
Yeah.
Like, I went to a Red Bulls and NYCFC game.
Yep, yep.
Like a while ago, and I don't know the guy's name. I guess his name is like David Villa.
Oh, yeah, David Villa from Spain.
Yeah, whatever his name is. I was like, I don't know. Everybody got this guy's jersey. Who is he? And apparently he was the shit in Spain
killed
like 5 years ago.
Yeah, killed it.
And he's still the shit here. So I'm like, okay, our soccer must be ass. Like,
our soccer is ass.
Yeah, we're terrible.
But if you guys are into MLS soccer, there's a cool podcast called The Cooligans that a couple of comic buddies of mine run. You should definitely check that out, The Cooligans.
Yeah. Way to plug. Way
yeah.
to plug.
I got to shout out my fellow sports podcast, man. Yeah, it's a tight community, you know. So that's Alexis. And Christian. Yeah, so why don't you go?
There's
you guys
a lot of responsibility being at the top.
Now, listen, when you're number one, you know what I mean? You got to shout out the peoples around you. Shout out to the support, the love. Now, let's keep it funky. When it comes to, did you pick your English Premier League team?
I did. I found it. Okay. I am supporting PSG this year because they have Neymar.
Fam, that's Neymar, in France, so fam.
It is?
Paris Saint-Germain. Son.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't
son,
care.
I son, like, yo, Kaz with the flagrant take.
I don't
yo,
Neymar.
You heard that? You heard that? Yo, you thought Kaz is known for hot takes, son? Hey, Colin Coward, you think you got hot takes? Yo, Kaz thinks the best English Premier League team is Paris Saint-Germain.
That's
motherfucker.
That's all I'm rocking with.
Beat that.
all because Neymar rocks Jordans and I like Jordans.
Yo, so. All right, fair enough.
That's my squad. That's who I'm rolling.
All right, so that's going to be your English Premier League team. Is a team from France. I got a feeling that you're going to lose this year, but let's go rock with
it. Wait, so we have a pool? Like, we have a pool going?
Son, yes, we compete about everything. We're men. Bet. This is what it is.
Kaz, I'm hugely invested in this.
All right, Kaz, go.
I just went Arsenal.
Yo, you know what? Let me tell you something, why I respect that pick. So I was doing a little research on the English teams. Okay. First of all, England, there's some real irony to this shit. England don't even own any of their teams anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of their teams are owned by like Saudis or Russians or Thai. Like literally everything in England is owned by somewhere else, which is really ironic because England colonized the world and now the world is colonizing England. Right? Like y'all going to need a Brexit if you want to keep anything. So you better hurry up with that shit. So I was going to go with Arsenal because I was like, yo, that's the one team that's still owned by the English. And then I found out there's this team called Liverpool.
Okay.
Liverpool. Well,
that's my best friend's favorite team.
All right. So Liverpool, I learned, Liverpool is like the Knicks of the English Premier League because they used to be nice back in the day. They haven't won in like 30 or 40 years or something crazy like that, but they still got the ego as if they are going to win every year. They're like, if you ask them every year, like, yo, this is the one. We got this
Knicks
shit.
Taking it this year. Okay. I can
and the best thing about it, they're owned by Americans. So really? I get to root for an American team in England, bro. That's who I'm going with. So Liverpool's taking that shit this year. I don't know how many games are left, but I think we got that. All right?
Let's do
Kaz,
it.
Now what you got? You're not PSG. You got to go with another team.
Well, I can't. All right. What team does Ronaldo play for?
Barcelona? Son, that's Spain. Son.
That's
yo,
Spain?
You are seeming
yo,
so
teams,
American
man.
Right now,
I don't
B.
know these goddamn
this
teams,
is how little
right?
Americans know about the rest of the
Jesus
world.
Jesus Christ. All right, you know? I'm still looking. Go.
Son, I'm going to give you names. You got Manchester United.
Okay.
Manchester City.
Okay.
Okay. Everton. Tottenham Hot Springs or some shit.
Everton. All right. I'm going to go Everton.
Everton?
Everton's my team.
All right. You're rocking Everton.
Everton is my team, guys.
All right. You Everton.
I'm a lifelong fan now.
Akash is going Arsenal. Shout out to Arsenal. And then I'm going Liverpool. All right. This is what it is.
I'm sticking to it. I like the colors too.
It's no game. Listen, yeah, I'm copping a what do they call it? Not a jersey. They call it a rag
a shirt?
Or something.
I don't know what the hell they call it.
No, they call that shit something special when they wear the team's rag.
The rag, yeah.
Not rag of a cricket. No, not a cricket.
It's
what
not
is
called
it?
A cricket.
A team's,
who cares, dog? Who
we don't
cares?
Man, I'm just trying to be a soccer hooligan, dog. I'm trying to be out here thumping knuckles for this shit.
Anybody who watches like English Premier League, please put me on some lingo and some slang. So I don't sound like an idiot.
For real.
Playoffs start. Is that what they call it? They call it playoffs?
Yo, y'all got playoffs? Keep it real. I want to know if y'all got playoffs.
It's just wins and losses.
Hey,
points.
You know what
wins,
we should do? You know what we should do next season as well, Akash? We should follow cricket.
Oh, yo, bro.
Psych! They didn't follow that stupid-ass shit. They didn't follow that dumb-ass fucking cricket-ass sport.
World Cup of cricket, I'm going to give a fuck.
Listen, cricket is just right poor now. Baseball. Y'all can't even afford gloves and shit.
Oh, yeah, because all the rich people in Cuba are playing baseball. Get the fuck out of my face.
Damn, Akash's clapbacks are nice.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little vacation. All of a sudden, you get your clear your head.
Bro, you gotta live life, like you said, in year two.
Damn, son, you're right. You gotta live life. I guess that is. Anyway, dogs, that's what we're gonna do. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Flagrant 2. Is there anything else that we gotta touch on, fellas?
Plugity plugs. What do we
Let's get these plugs, dog. Talk to them.
All right, man. Make sure you listen to the Wrestle Rap podcast every Saturday on MLW Network. Me and my man Emilio Sparks. Listen to me on Satori Radio. Download the app at satori-nyc.com every Monday through Friday. And I can talk about it now this Thursday. The premiere of No Script with Marshawn Lynch on Facebook Watch. Check that out. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait for the world to see that. It was a crazy summer filming that. And the trailer doesn't know justice. So just please watch it.
I'm not going to lie. I saw the trailer. That shit was funny as hell.
Yes, sir. Yo,
there's one line in the trailer that had me rolling. I don't know if it was yours or Bleacher Report's thing I commented on. But he basically is like, he's doing some shit with a scientist. Yeah.
The scientist is like a running gag throughout the scene.
Oh my God, bro. The scientist is showing some like weird, you know, chemical experiment, whatever like that. There's smoke everywhere and he starts pouring the smoke out and it goes on Marshawn. And Marshawn goes, not on the J's, scientist. I love calling engineers scientists. That's my favorite shit, calling doctors scientists. Like just referring to people in white lab coats as scientists is so legit to me, and that alone sold me. I'm watching the show.
Oh, man. Can't wait.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Anything else, Kaz?
No, that's it, man. That's it.
Well, you can check my stand-up out. I got some stand-up coming up. I'm going to be in Chicago November 4th through the 7th, and then I'm going to be in New York November 9th for the New York Comedy Festival and be headlining a show. So make sure you check that out. Gotham Comedy Club. You can get tickets for both of those on my website. And then I'll be in Long Island the weekend after that at, I believe, in McGuire's Comedy Club. So make sure you check that out. Obviously, listen to Brilliant Idiots podcast. And Westerbros, the TV film reviewing podcast that I got with my homies, my bros, my Westerbros, is coming back for Stranger Things. And we're going to do something dope. We're going to binge watch the whole show and do episodes in between the binging. So it's going to be a one-day experience for us. We're going to watch the whole show and record all the podcasts for every episode within that one day so you guys can, binge the review experience just like you binge the show. So I want you guys to check that out. Make sure you subscribe to that on iTunes. And keep on listening to, obviously, Brilliant Idiots and keep on watching 441. Thank you guys so much for supporting that. That means everything. So keep on watching and sharing that. Akash?
Yeah, the new season of my other podcast, American Desis, drops this Tuesday. If you are my kind of brown, for damn sure you should watch it. If you're from an immigrant family in general, I think you'll like it. And then also, we got a show also at the New York Comedy Festival, November 12th at Caroline's, called ABDCs. Check it out. You can buy tickets on their website.
All right, man. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. This is Flagrant 2, No Easy Buckets. Peace.